you're a grief counselor almost at some point, you know, parts, and you're a therapist and you're a friend and you're an advisor. And you're playing all these roles at one time. And I feel my clients that I go through this with, it's almost like we're trauma bonded because we just went through this horrible life event, which is why they're never leaving me and why I have such high retention because of what I go through with my clients.
The Heart of Advice. It's personal. It's pragmatic. Here on the eMoney Heart of Advice podcast, we explore how to navigate both sides to help you take your financial planning practice to the next level. Join us as we speak with financial professionals to learn how they deepen relationships and improve client outcomes.
This podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor or any of its affiliates or subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Heart of Advice podcast, presented by eMoney. I'm Sasha Grabenstetter.
And I'm Connor Sung. We're your eMoney experts. Today on the podcast, we have Carrie Carbonaro. Carrie is a certified financial planner, a CFP board ambassador, a best-selling author of The Money Queen's Guide for Women Who Want to Build Wealth and Banish Fear, and upcoming book, Women and Wealth, a playbook to empower clients and unlock their fortune. She's named among Investopedia's top 100 financial advisors multiple times. She's appeared on Fox and Friends, The Today Show, CNN, CNBC, NPR. And she is a financial professional with over 25 years of experience. First off, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
First off, could you just walk us through your career a little bit? How did you end up where you're at today?
Sure. Well, I always knew that I wanted to help women with money. It's interesting. There's a book called The One Thing where you go back on your life and you look at the threads. And I've always wanted to help women. I didn't even know that it was a profession. Really, when I first started, I grew up, my dad was a banker at JP Morgan Chase, and I was his oldest daughter, and we bonded over money instead of sports. So he used to take me to Take Your Daughter to Work Day before there was a Take Your Daughter to Work Day. So I knew everything about financial literacy and banking and things that like girls don't normally learn growing up. We went to foreclosure auctions, Straight Talk with the Dolans, which is really going back. They were like a couple in the 80s that used to do like financial literacy talks. They were married. And so we did all these great things together. And so when I was even in high school and college, I started a sorority for women to make them feel safe at my college. This was late 80s, early 90s. I helped my girls with budgets and finding spending money in their budgets when I was in college, just because I thought it was easy and fun. And then when I got out of college, my first job was at JP Morgan Chase. And I didn't really know that CFP was a profession because it was so young. And I didn't know that I could actually get paid to give people financial advice. It was the most incredible thing when I found out I could do it. And this was like a real thing. And then I got my CFP, and then I worked first in the banking industry, and then I decided to go out on my own. And pretty much the rest is history. And I've always focused on women in my practice because women need more help than men because they have a lot of strikes against women. Women have a lot of strikes against them, like the pay wage gap, the wealth gap, the longevity, the lack of confidence, the a little bit more conservative, and the fact that all of this happens to women and they don't usually get a financial planner until something terrible happens, like a death, a divorce, a disability, a job loss. So women don't just when the rain is not out and it's a sunny day, they don't wake up and say, I'm going to go hire a financial planner. So I want women to just be on a sunny day and wake up and say, I'm going to hire a financial planner. And when it's not a terrible situation. And so anyway, I always knew that I wanted to help women, and I can translate these complex topics into things that women understand. And I do it with empathy, and women seem to respond to it. So I know I'm doing the right thing. It's my life's work. Very long answer.
It is a lifetime. No, it's wonderful. It's a lifetime of financial education, literacy, and advice. It's awesome.
I mean, I'll just say that we have a lot of similarities. I started out in banking. I was a bank teller. My dad was very much like, you're an independent woman, Sasha. You're going to go be a banker. And I was like, I don't know. And then obviously it landed up here at eMoney doing what I do now. But I was listening to you actually on another podcast, and you've spoken about the importance of making financial planning more inclusive for women, which obviously you just talked to us about. But I want to know about what shifts you've seen in the industry and what more needs to happen to kind of ensure that lasting change, both for firms and for those of us who have male allies. So some key insights would be wonderful to hear for our listeners.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the wealth shift and the wave that's coming, right? So that is really the basis for my book that's coming out. It is based on the McKinsey study that women are the next wave in wealth management. So by 2030, which is, you know, 5 short years away, women are going to control 2/3 of the nation's wealth, which is $30 trillion, which is the same as the GDP of the United States. And Cerulli just came out, which is even more recent. If you go out a little bit further to 2048, it's going to be $54 trillion. So T with a T. So it's an incredible amount of money that, and, you know, it's a confluence of a lot of different events happening to have this happen. So, you know, it's the fact that women are living longer because of longevity. It's the fact that, and outlive their spouses. So they're inheriting wealth from their parents and from their spouses. It's also because women are becoming primary breadwinners in the United States, which has never happened, which is also really exciting, and opening businesses faster than men. So it's a combination of all these incredible events that are happening all at one time. And so the industry is really not ready for it. You know, we haven't changed our client experience, our language, our how we talk to women, how women work with financial services. There's another study that was done by Harvard Business Review that said financial services is the least sympathetic to women, but has the most to gain if they get it right. So I hope that people really decide to do. My book is packed with like hundreds of action items to make your practice female friendly and to change things and to change the client experience for women and uncover unconscious bias and blind spots that you don't know what you don't know. And it's okay because, you know, it was set up, this industry was set up by men for men. And it's okay because that's who the clients were. But now if the clients are changing and the whole landscape is shifting, we have to be prepared for it. And right now we're not. So I say there's so many things to do, but let's start somewhere. Start to do some of the things. Uncover your unconscious bias. Take a how female friendly is my practice quiz. There's just, you know, ask questions to ask yourselves, questions to ask your clients in each chapter of my book to uncover the differences between women and men and why women are respond differently.
Yeah. Well, number one, I would say congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
And again, it is called Women in Wealth, a playbook to empower clients and unlock their fortune. Do you mind just going through, I know you just walked through a couple of the cliff note versions of some of the actionable things that firms can do, but can you, number one, remind us when it's coming out and also just offer up a little bit more color commentary on some of the most powerful takeaways you hope that readers will get from it?
Sure. So it is coming out April 29th, 2025. So right around the corner. It is going to be, I really wrote it for, there's two audiences. One is anybody who wants to work with women and understand women differently. You know, the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or the other way around. I don't remember that one. But anyway, we definitely are different and we respond to things differently. So we can't take the male playbook and just apply it to women because it doesn't translate. I always say the language, even just the language, the jargon, the sports references, the beating the S&P 500 doesn't resonate with women. You know, women want to know, am I going to be okay? Am I going to outlive my portfolio? you know, am I going to be a bag lady and homeless? That's a whole bag lady fear thing. I have that myself, so I know all about that one. And then they also have, you know, can I buy things? Can I spend without guilt? Can I buy a second home? Are my kids going to be okay? Like, these are the things that keep women up at night, and they just want to know that they're going to be okay. And that doesn't really translate as much to Sharpe ratios and beating the S&P and, you know, all the nitty gritty of what's in your portfolio. You know, I think a lot of times we try to put in what we want or what we think our clients want rather than what they actually want, which is tell me I'm okay. So back to what else is in the book, because I know I went on a little bit of a tangent there. But so
we love tangents. Okay.
So what's in the book is, you know, there's so many different things about women. You know, I talk about why there are no women advisors. Where are the women in the industry? Then I talk about women on where we are with the history of women and money, the history of female breadwinners, why women leave their advisors. That's a big one. You know, it's interesting because the men who are listening, you know, you are going to lose 70 to 90% of your women clients when their spouse dies. And guess who's getting them? Me. So I'm just going to sit there with a big funnel and collect them all unless you read my book. And then I'm giving you the answers in my book. But it's funny because I actually am sitting there and just collecting these clients because they're leaving the advisors where they don't feel heard, understood, listened to, respected. And guys, I'm not blaming you. You don't even really sometimes know that you're doing it. It's okay. Like I'm not being judgmental at all. I just want to teach you how to work with women. And so there's a lot of unconscious bias and blind spots. And I have a quiz, actually, it's not my quiz, it's Harvard's quiz on how to uncover the unconscious bias blind spots. And then I've got case studies on why it's hurting the financial planning profession with women, of what's happening that's wrong. And then I've got case studies of how to do it right. And it's not just my case studies. I brought in a bunch of incredible women from all other CFPs from all other firms who also gave me their case studies. And so you can review what other women are doing with their women clients. So, and then also the other thing, another case study for women is that women refer 7 times more than men. So they're more loyal. They're absolute referrers. They'll be with you for forever because, and I'm a great case study for that. I don't know if you know my career history, but over the last 5 years, I've moved my clients 4 times in 5 years with an almost 100% retention, which is just, I mean, just crazy. I mean, and actually my situation is a little bit extreme. It was because I was at United Capital, which was sold to Goldman. Then I wound up on the wrong firm on the other side. And then now I'm at the right firm and I'm not moving again. So, but it took me, that path was a long, arduous path. And my clients stayed with me the whole time because I was just trying to find the best home for them. I was actually just trying to find what I had at United Capital.
100% retention is amazing to me. Just like kudos to that. I just want to say that. But I really enjoyed hearing about, you know, the history of, you know, women just deciding that they don't want to be with their male advisors, so they leave. And that I love that you joke that they all go to you. And I hope that they do all go to you. Because I think women especially feel more comfortable with other women. And those men who do have that empathetic lens and some, you know, even some of our own e-money research looking at like the future of, you know, AI and technology and those human-centric skills are so important. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Carrie. So
it is. It's honestly, empathy is the most important thing to with working with women. You know, listening, hearing, respecting, empathy, establishing the trust is literally the most important thing. And knowing that you literally care about them. Like this is not a business transaction. This is a lifelong bond with my client. You know, it's not about business or getting paid. It's about me helping them with their financial future. It's a different lens.
I agree. Definitely different lens. Connor, do you want to add any color?
Oh, it's so cool. I'm thinking just more broadly about this shift for us and as a profession into more of like the why behind making any sort of financial decision. And I think as I look back to the typical broker model or even in, you know, insurance commission-based model where it's, you know, very, very transactional in nature. And while the advice or the guidance or the recommendation may have been based off of, something more comprehensive or more holistic in nature, I think, you know, as I look across all of the engagements that we have today across all of eMoney's users and clients, that it's becoming so much more important to hit the why behind making the financial recommendations and getting more to the people's kind of, you know, their core values, their core needs, and aligning the financial recommendations with those things. And then you get to all of the stuff that you're talking about, like the trust, the satisfaction, the referrals, all of the actual stuff that comes from building a real relationship with somebody and understanding that I'm going to recommend X, Y, and Z, but ultimately this is in support of you buying a second home or you being able to do what you want to do in your actual life, not just your financial life. And then I think about, you know, the way that I was trained for the CFP for some of the investment courses where, you know, the most important pieces are your alpha and, you know, being able to describe risk and return and sitting down and having that conversation with somebody and telling them about all of these percentiles and, you know, different distribution models. It as it should go right over people's heads.
His eyes glaze over. Well, you know what else is interesting, what you were talking about, is that when I was at United Capital, we had a very female-friendly client experience because we used a lot of behavioral finance tools. And women really seem to really like the behavioral finance tools because one of the things we used to have at United, which doesn't exist anymore, but we had the Money Mind, which was a little quiz to figure out why you make the decisions that you make around money. Using your literally, it's what your subconscious does on every decision you make around money. And just even understanding that and then finding out where you fall. Are you fear? Are you commitment? Are you happiness? Money mindset. And so it's a very interesting thing to just, women love that. And I'm sure men do too, but women seem to gravitate that towards that more. And then you were also talking about the values piece with women. I have a lot of clients that are really interested in the ESG because they really want to put their money where their mouth is and they really want to tie their values to their investment choices. So I have so many clients who are interested in that. And then we have, what's great now is we can do the exclusions and the inclusions. It used to be back in the day, you could only exclude things that you don't want, but now you can include and exclude. So you can really tailor the portfolio to meet the woman's/client's you know, goals, preferences, life choices, and, you know, really match it, which I really love.
I love all the things that you've said about kind of just making sure that we have that empathy and that trust building. And that's why, like, where my heart lives. Connor knows that. Talk about empathy a lot in our team calls and how important it is. So I appreciate you bringing that up. I do want to switch gears really quickly because I do know that you were able to kind of help us with some quotes in our Candid Conversations Suddenly Single ebook. And that ebook really highlights, you know, losing a spouse, whether it's through death or divorce. And it creates, as you know, immense stress, particularly for women who often face that unique financial challenge and emotional challenge during those transitions. Those life transitions are very difficult. Of course, we also can talk about gray divorces, which have reached a record high level in the United States, with approximately 36% of divorces now occurring among those ages 50 and older. So when you're working with women navigating these specific life changes, talking about death or divorce, how do you help them regain that financial confidence and stability?
Well, so it's interesting because this is a big part of my practice, obviously. And it's interesting, the other thing that I think our profession only looks at women as divorced or widowed. Yet we have a whole circle of life, of other life events that women have. And so that's another whole story, but that's also in my book, because I talk about, it's not just divorced and widowed. It's so many different, I have 8 different choices of like life cycles of women. But when I, well, let's talk about the ones that everybody talks about, which is, you know, divorce and widowhood, because those are the ones that are actual life transitions where money is moving. Now, money is moving in some of these other ones, but still, these are the ones that we talk about. So how do we get these women back on track? Well, my ultimate goal is for them to come to me before this happens. So, but if they don't, I'm dealing with it now when it happens. And so it's such an emotionally stressful time, because money is so emotionally, people are so emotionally tied to their money. And so there's so much that's wrapped up with that. You know, I had a client whose husband died, and she had a very expensive house. And this house was killing her financial plan. And she could not let go of it because it was their house together. And I remember one night, I literally woke up. I had like a nightmare about it for her. Woke up the next morning and said, you need to sell this house. I don't know how to, like, this is going to hurt your long-term plan if you don't sell this house. What can I do to help support you sell this house? You know, and she was like, I think I need like somebody to help me clear the house out. And so I got her that. And then anyway, she finally sold the house, but it took a long time and a lot of counseling with her. And also talking to her kids about it, her daughters. We finally sold it. And now her financial plan is perfect. Like, her scores are great. She's never going to run out of money. She's in a fantastic spot. But if she's kept that house, it would have been devastating. And it was the emotional tie to that house that was stopping her from selling that house. So, you know, there's a lot of layers to this. It's like peeling an onion when you're dealing with a widow or a divorce. And I went through like the worst divorce in history. So I can really, really help on that. Like, cause I'm like, oh, mine was so much worse. Like, I can go through all the stories with them and all the war stories and tell them it's going to be sunny and beautiful on the other side. Now, unfortunately, I have not been a widow yet. Hopefully I will not be a widow, but likelihood is I will. And so I know, right? So on the other side of that, I lost my dad, so I can be there with them on losing the most important man in my life other than my husband. And so I go through that with them, so I can help them get through and process and get to the other side. And, you know, there's a lot of grief in the middle. There's a lot. I mean, you're a counselor. You're a grief counselor almost at some point, you know, parts. And you're a therapist, and you're a friend, and you're an advisor. And you're playing all these roles at one time. And I feel my clients that I go through this with, it's almost like we're trauma bonded because we just went through this horrible life event, which is why they're never leaving me and why I have such high retention because of what I go through with my clients. Now, is it more work? It's a ton of work. It's like emotional for me, emotional for them. It's so much more work. I don't know if most people are interested in doing this work because it is so much more work and so much more difficult, but it's so much more rewarding over time and in the end. And you get to help so much more.
I really do appreciate that empathetic lens, like just saying, you know, hey, I've been through the trenches. I understand what this is like. And really being able to hold that perspective and be able to share it with them. I think that's really beautiful. So thank you.
And being willing to. You talked about how much additional work it is. And I'm sure from a time standpoint, from an emotional like standpoint and effort, you're investing a lot in your clients as well. And I think it's a testament to, I think, your ultimate desire of just helping people feel more safe, as you talked about opening your sorority, but like the financial safety, the emotional safety, the personal safety, it's really cool. And honestly, I totally agree that there are a lot of financial professionals that probably aren't interested in getting to that level with their clients. But at the end of the day, you know, if they have a good financial relationship and they're sending people on the right path, then I think that's great. People are still getting decent education, decent advice and recommendations. but those are, you know, they don't have as sticky of clients. Their retention rate is not going to be 100. The same as yours. So it definitely will show in the relationships that you've built, not just the client advisor relationships, but I think the personal relationships that you're clearly investing your own time and energy into. Well, I want to pivot a little bit. We mentioned at the top of the podcast that you are a CFP board ambassador. Can you just talk a little bit about what that role entails, some of the stuff that you're doing with them, and ultimately how you're looking at helping the next generation of financial planners, especially the women, build successful careers in our industry?
Sure. So I have been a CFP board ambassador for over a decade, so an incredibly long time. And I get to represent the profession in the media with the press on women and money topics, because that's my specialty. I also just got back from our first CFP board trip, international mission, global mission trip. And so we went to Argentina and met with their country leaders to understand the economy and what's going on with their country. And it was absolutely incredible. We were also hosted by the U.S. Embassy. It was a trip of a lifetime, and I was so fortunate to have been invited to be part of the delegation for that trip. And I also got to meet the woman who's in charge of financial literacy for women in Argentina. Her name is Sabrina Castilli, and I'm hopefully going to be collaborating with her internationally. So I'm really excited about that.
But I love this Power of Women Summit. I love that we're really focusing on putting women together in the same room to kind of fix this issue and continue to push it forward. So,
well, it's such a big issue that nobody has the answers. That's the thing, is we have to collaborate and we have to put our heads together, because not one person can do this. It's like pushing a boulder up a hill and having it roll back on you. And there's so many issues that are preventing it from moving forward, and nobody has the answers. That's the problem. If I had them, I would already give them to you. I wrote about it in my book, and I said, this is a collaborative effort. We need to all come together on this.
It's so cool. You have so many discussions, like conversations and roles that you play, both as an advisor and as a advocate. And I just commend you on spending all of your time. It sounds like since very early on in your life, you stumbled kind of your way to here, and you've spent a lot of time and effort in ensuring that those that may be in similar shoes to where you were know that there's opportunities out there for them to feel passionate about what they do in a space that they love, and helping clients that they're looking for. I do just want to, of all of the conversations, the people that you engage with, if you had to bubble up to, I'll give you one to three, but if there was one to three of like the most important financial topics that you're talking about right now, what would the one to three be?
Or just in general, on the advocacy role or on the client role?
Just in general.
Okay. That's hard then, because I have so many. Well, for me, my number one topic is, let's change this industry and make it more female friendly. That's one of my most important topics in the industry, in my advocacy role. Then in my role with clients, I want women to 100% be owning their own financial future and being responsible for their own financial future, and not relying on somebody else and not thinking somebody else is going to take care of it for them. And also just being their own, owning it, for a woman to own it for herself. And then the last thing I would say is that the industry recognizes, besides making it more female friendly, but that it changes so that it's literally welcoming to women. And there was another thing that Cerulli said in their latest article that came out at the end of January. And they said, whoever gets this right with women is going to be positioned for decades to come. So this is a business decision for people. Like, there's no reason to not look at what you're doing and make it better, and make it better for women.
That leads me to my next off the cuff question here, which is, for those firms, individual advisors, enterprises that are interested in becoming that successful group that becomes more attractive, more inviting, more open, more welcoming to women clients, what is the first thing that you would recommend that they do?
Read my book.
Nice.
That's an easy one. That was a softball.
It's perfect.
Love it. I'm so excited about kind of the future of women in personal finance. I agree with you, Carrie. I think that we're headed in a good direction. We know we're trying to fix the problem and we're trying to do it together. So I think that it's going to be really impactful.
As you may or may not know, eMoney is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, coming up this summer. So, you know, big kudos to the company. We've come a long way, as the industry has come a long way. And as such, we had a couple of questions for you about kind of the progression of the financial services industry. And maybe we'll start with the first one, which is, what do you think the most significant change is in our industry that you've seen over the past 25 years?
Well, in my experience in the past 25 years, what I've noticed is people want more for less. So it's a combination of more services, more advice, more choices, more software, and everybody wants to pay a little bit less because I guess fee compression over those past 25 years is definitely a real thing. So I believe we have to work smarter and use technology and leverage technology to be able to offer these additional services for less money. That's been my experience over the past 25 years.
Definitely work smarter, not harder. And looking at, you know, those software pieces. But the other question we have for you is, what solutions would you like to see from the industry coming in the next 25 years? So the future.
Okay, so the future, what I would love is one end-to-end solution, which is, you know, this is like the holy grail. So that has CRM, financial planning software, taxes, estate, performance, everything in one. Could you imagine?
You mentioned over the past 25 years, the clients are looking for more for less. And as I look at our business, and I think financial professionals are also looking for more for less.
Absolutely.
As we're wrapping up, Carrie, we have just one last question that we ask all of our guests on the podcast. And I want to know how you would define the heart of advice when it comes to financial planning.
So it's interesting because I know that that's the question that you ask everybody. I don't know what anybody else's answer is, but my answer is it's my life's purpose to educate and empower women. And that's the heart of financial advice to me.
I like it. Short, sweet, to the point. Focus on the women. I love it. Well, Carrie, thank you for being on. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I know Connor has as well, and I love the insights, and I hope that our listeners can really take them to heart and decide that, you know, women are important, and we're going to really focus on that next chapter with them. So thank you.
The Heart of Advice podcast is produced by eMoney Advisor, a leading provider of technology solutions and services that help people talk about money. Learn more at eMoneyAdvisor.com, where you can find additional resources for advisor success, including the Heart of Advice blog, as well as eBooks, CE webinars, and events.